Seth, I'm going to need some water. The fifth chapter. We have already covered the first five verses, but we're ready to start with verse 6. And last Sunday, we had those first five verses. And in them, we read the items that are the works of the flesh and that are also practiced in the name of religion. And Paul warns the saints not to be deceived by such practice, by such error that is in doctrine and in practice. So we begin with verse 6. For this I know, verse 6, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Thank you so much. I needed it. Now the children of disobedience have become so efficient in religious craft. And their words can sound so wise and so attractive. But what does it say here? They really are vain. Vain means empty. They're empty words with no spiritual value. And they are defiling to the church. And Paul writes of them in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And Paul warns, don't let them deceive you. Verse 7, but be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Yes. Now some have been deceived by this religious witchcraft, and I call it being brainwashed. They're brainwashed. And what happens then? They become partakers with them. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan's ministers may sound enlightened, but their light is darkness, and their make-believe righteousness is false. It's false righteousness. But oh, the flesh feels so good in following their methods and their ways. The flesh. But that's self-righteousness. And it's just a whitewash job. Many are snared by this trap of Satan. Says ye were sometimes darkness, yes, unsaved and of the world. Thank God in Christ, we are in the new realm a new realm, and that realm is light. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, walk as children of light. Isn't it good to compare Scripture with Scripture? Yes. We are to be lights in this dark world. And how do we do that? By letting the Christ life within shine out, that others see it and they're drawn unto Him. You know, we're nothing in ourselves. We can't do anything in ourselves, but thank God we are light in the Lord. Did we not read in the very first part of this chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, be ye followers of God as your children. Yes, as His dear children. And then second verse says, walk in love. God is light, and His children are to walk in dependence upon Him. Not independent, but because that is depending on our own strength and wisdom and our own self-righteousness, but depend upon Him. Isn't that something we're learning all the time? I am. God desires that we grow up into Christ in all things. He wants us to grow up full-grown sons in Christ. And He's doing a work in us. And as we yield, that work is taking place. Praise the Lord. Being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is God's agent. How He works. Praise the Lord. And I believe He's working in all of us. And let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. That's found in Hebrews 12:2. And then we read in Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word. Let's go on here, verse 9. And I'm going to read verse 9 as it reads in the original Greek. It says, for the fruit of light is all dark, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. I'm going to read that again because I kind of stumbled around on it. But it has the word light. Mm-hmm. It doesn't read the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of light is all goodness and righteousness and truth. And do you notice this verse is it's in parentheses. I'm sure your Bible shows that. That means verse 8 is connected with verse 10. And so by walking in the light, we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And praise the Lord for verse 9. Yes. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, in the King James Version, it has the word there, spirit, instead of light. Well, we know that the fruit of light, that goodness and righteousness and truth, they are the blessings of the Spirit. Yes, they are. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The works of darkness, they pretend to produce light. But what do we read here? They are unfruitful. They're unfruitful of goodness and righteousness and truth. They can seem so pious and even appeal to the carnal nature. We read in 2 Peter 3:16, Peter says, of those that rest, W-R-E-S-T, the scriptures. You know what that word means? It means twisting. It means converting to improper use, to deflect, to change from the truth, to distort. Many are deceived because, why? Their ignorance of the Word of God. That's how they're so easily deceived. To have no fellowship with the unfruitful works, I say that's the easy way. Because you can just avoid them when it says have no fellowship. But then it says, but reprove them. That takes spiritual boldness. And may I faithfully, by God's grace, give out the word that corrects the error and practice and in doctrine. May I be, by God's grace, by God's enablement. Let's continue with verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The most shameful secret works of the flesh are those that are done in the name of religion. And it is true that error in doctrine is followed by error in practice. The public may not be aware of it, but God is. God knows. We read in Hebrews 12:6, whom God loves, he corrects. And I dare say, in our lifetime, we have seen some religious men who have publicly suffered shame. Jack said to me one time, he said, I believe they were true believers because God's given them a good spanking. Well, I know God's corrected me, and I kind of suspect he has you too. I've known his correction. Well, it's for our good. It's for our good if we receive that correction from the Lord. But if we do not receive the correction, and we just continue on in works of darkness, the scripture says we reap what we sow. Well, have you ever lifted a board in a damp, dark place and the sun shines on the worms and the bugs that were underneath of it and they run off to another hiding place, another dark hiding place? Well, that's an example of leaven being exposed to the light of God's word. What do we read here? All things approved are made manifest by the light. Verse 14. Wherefore, or in light of this, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Paul knew by the Spirit that there were evil doers, religious evil doers, who were lurking about, ready to pounce on the Ephesian assembly. And you read of that in Acts, the 20th chapter, verses 29 through 31. And he called the elders, and he talked to them before he knew he would not see them anymore, to warn them that what Satan will try to do in their midst. Well, I became aware of Satan's trickery not long ago. Satan was trying to sneak air into the assembly. Now, that's an important matter, not to just ignore it. Just thinking, oh, this will wait, it'll go away. No. It called for action. And the Lord showed me that I could not trust someone else to take care of it, to handle it. And as a pastor, I had to address it and correct it by the word of God. Satan's a sly old fox, but thank God for the light of his word that showed up the worms and the bugs and destroyed them. Thank God for the protection of the assembly. Thank God. Thank God. May we continue to walk in love, walking as children of light, and rejecting error in doctrine. May we continue. By God's grace. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, walking circumspectly means understandingly, accurately. We can't do that, but we can trust the Holy Spirit and yield to that life within. You know, no one can leap from the lowest rung of a ladder to the seventh rung. And neither can we by one bound reach the top of the spiritual stairway. We must walk accurately by the wisdom of the Spirit in the light of God's word. Selah. Now, dangers do appear, oh yes, but we are instructed to walk wisely, trusting him, looking unto him, and redeeming the time. That means buying up the opportunities. The Lord brings all of us opportunities, but we need to redeem the time and buy them up. The Greek word used here for redeem is different. It means to hunt the marketplace, to buy for oneself. Let us grab up the opportunities as the Lord brings them our way. Those opportunities that bring eternal gain, not the gain in this world, but eternal gains. And that's walking spiritually, walking wise, being grateful for whatever small blessings that he brings our way, and running to that we might know the larger ones. Praise the Lord. God does furnish us with the wisdom and the faith to buy up these opportunities. We know by the word of God. Hallelujah. Let us invest in Jesus and be led of the Holy Spirit. We can actually seize the goods. And you know, those goods, Jesus has already bought them and provided them. And in turn, then when we seize a hold of them, we're bringing them back to him, that he may be glorified. What a privilege is ours. Think on that. Let us not look down on the small ways that the Lord brings our way. If we're faithful in the small things, he will increase our usefulness. That's the way God does. And he rewards faithfulness. Verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Yes. What's the governing principle of our life? It's God's will. That should be the governing principle. The Holy Spirit is our guide into all truth, we read. Yes, we can know God's will. Praise the Lord. And with verse 18, we see the first important item. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine. Now, this wine can figure all kinds of carnal intoxication. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this isn't talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit here, because the Ephesian saints were already filled. They had already been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We read of that in Acts 19th chapter and verse 6. Yes. And the Greek word filled here has the meaning of filled continually. Isn't it good to know what the Greek words mean? Yes. And they mean something different as they're used in different places in the scripture. So it's good to check it out. Praise the Lord. In other words, be continually filled with the Spirit. That's the message here. And how do we do that? By continuing in feeding upon the Word. And also in our prayer life, communication with the Lord and worshiping of Him. And we just, as we go, then we learn more and more about our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might grow up into Him in all things. Let us be intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to walk accurately. The Lord bless you, and may He bless this lesson unto our hearts and to our assembly. Let's sing.